Tonight, I'm going to preach on another topic. This morning it was about partygoers and salvation. And tonight it's going to be another type of drinking. You can be drunk with envy. We're going to talk tonight about envy and jealousy. And not because I'm the guy that everybody wants to be envious of. I happen to have a mirror to know that that's not true. But we're going to look at this tonight. Envy and jealousy. And, of course, jealousy sometimes is not wrong. But you can open up your Bibles to Titus 3, verse 3. We actually, I quoted part of Titus chapter 2 and Titus chapter 3 this morning in the sermon that I preached. And this would be one of the verses that we looked at, especially the part serving divers, lusts, and pleasures. But we're going to look at that this evening, and we're going to pray before we read it and before we look at anything. So close your eyes, Titus 3 verse 3, and let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day. Thank you for every last little bit of health that you give us. To be able to preach, to be able to sit and listen to a message, the ears that you've given us, the feet that we have to walk into this place, and be able to sit down, the chairs that we can sit on, the food that we could eat earlier, the fellowship with other Christians, and the wonderful privilege to be able to sit around the Word of God and learn something more about who you are, what you've done for us, and what your will is for our lives. And Father, I just ask this evening that you will speak directly to our hearts in thy great mercy, that you will bind the devil and his demons in the name of Jesus Christ, and that thou wouldest, as we look to Jesus, allow that out of our bellies would flow, not horrible things towards other people, but would flow living streams of water as you promised in your word. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's name, that you would speak to our hearts today. And I ask this for thy great mercy's sake, as Daniel said, not for any righteousness of my own. But I pray this for thy great mercy's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I mentioned, tonight we're going to look at envy and jealousy. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, some little children, even my little children who are not absolute saints, I can guarantee that. My little children, sometimes when the new baby comes along, there will be some jealousy going on. They're absolutely amazed. This is absolutely amazing what came out of mommy. The stomach is gone, the baby's out, and here's this little child with little legs, and they can't believe how wonderful it is, but there come times when they realize that mommy is giving this little child attention that used to go to me, and almost every child at some stage, unless you're very weird, comes to the point of a little jealousy. And sometimes it gets quite rough. In some houses that we've been in, there will be children that will be so jealous. They'll love that child, but there will be times that they're so jealous, they'll take that child, lift it up in the air, and if the mother doesn't catch it in time, throw it down. I suppose Americans never do stuff like that. But imagine adults acted like little babies. Imagine Timothy was jealous of my good looks. And in the middle of the sermon, it just became too much for him. And he came up to the front and he just lifted me over his shoulders and he threw me on the ground. And he was, because you're getting more attention than me. I used to get all the attention. I don't know. I'm so glad we don't act too much like babies. Although some do. Titus chapter 3 verse 3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived." And then it goes on to say, "Serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." We used to live in malice and envy before we were saved, the Bible says. Now I remember when I was not saved many years back as a 5-year-old, I went to preschool. I don't know what that is in America, but it's before you go to junior school. And I remember sitting there, and there was this group of children in a big circle, and my best friend was sitting there, who I decided was my best friend. That's just how it works. I decide, that's how it is. And I remember somebody else decided to do the impossibly stupid thing of sitting next to my best friend so I couldn't sit next to him. And I remember the jealousy welled up because he was taken away from me, that which was rightfully mine, according to every verse in the Bible. And I remember coming up to him, and something swelled up in me, and I remember it was actually amazing. And I came down to him, and my mouth opened. I don't know if you've ever seen this happen before. And I used my teeth, and I bit him. And it was awesome. I enjoyed that moment with a deep thrill that went through my body. But unfortunately, we had a headmaster who was a female, and I still believe that women should keep quiet at school, but she dragged me out of that place, and she took me to her classroom or wherever it was that she did such things, and she showed me her teeth, and she said to me that if you ever, ever bite someone again, I will bite you. And since then, I have never bit anybody. And that's a fact. Now again, I would think it would be terrifying if Brandon were to stand up and he was now across with Timothy, because Timothy sat next to Jason, and Brandon were to run over there and start biting people. It would be terrifying. Children are not supposed to do such things. But in the Bible, we have examples of not little childish envy. That's what we're born with, something in us that has envy and jealousy, and we'll get to what the difference is a little later. But we find that envy actually is something that can cause great harm in people's lives. In fact, it was what led to the death of Jesus Christ. In the Bible, we know in John chapter 7, verse 7, that it is written that the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil, Jesus says. And sometimes people will say, you know, if we're going to be like Jesus, then we're going to love everybody. We're not going to talk about their sins. We're not going to tell them that certain things according to Scripture are wrong. Well, we know from Scripture that they hated Jesus because he told them what they were doing was wrong. They hated Jesus because he pinpointed the wrong things in their lives. But apart from this hatred, we know also in Matthew 27 verse 18 and Mark 15 verse 10 that the very reason they gave Jesus over to be killed was because they were envious of him. We read this, and I can read it to you. For he knew, this is Pilate speaking, that for envy they had delivered him. And then Mark 15 verse 10, for he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. So we know that Jesus died because people looked at the crowds that were following Jesus, and they were jealous and they were envious, and they decided that he had to be crucified because it couldn't carry on this way. Envy is a terrifying thing. It does not just lead people to bite other people. It does not just lead people to take their little brother over the head and throw him on the ground. It leads people to kill other people, including Jesus Christ. Paul in the Bible, Acts 13 verse 45 and Acts 17 verse 5, we read, and when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with what? They were filled with envy. And they wanted to destroy them with their words and with their deeds in Acts 17 verse 5. So what is the difference between envy and jealousy? Well, I'm sure most of you know, but just in case, there's a very basic definition of this. And let's just say that I was standing up here and Timothy was standing next to me. I'm not going to ask him to do that. And Jason was standing on the other side. And the definition, I can read it to you. Envy occurs when we lack a desired attribute enjoyed by another. So I could be standing here and I feel like I don't have the good looks that Jason has. And I don't have the ability that Jason has to fix cars. And I don't have the ability that Jason has to keep my mouth shut when it should be shut. And I stand here and I look at him and something in me is envious. It feels bad that he has things that I don't have, a lack in my life. That's envy. But jealousy is when you have something already. Let's say I've got a wife, which I do, by the way, a wonderful wife. Or I have a toy that I'm playing with. And suddenly someone comes in there and he comes into this thing between two people, basically, mostly, and he starts to, or she starts to threaten what I already have. And so, I'm jealous. Jealousy occurs when something we already possess, usually a special relationship, is threatened by a third person. And the wonderful thing about jealousy is it's not always wrong. It's not wrong if I had a wife and somebody was eyeing my wife, and my wife, she would never do this, but she started eyeing that person back, for me to become jealous. I mustn't become bitter, but it wouldn't be wrong for me to become jealous. Exodus 20 verse 5, the God is jealous. It says these words, "For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God." Exodus 34 verse 14, "For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Did you know that one of the names of God is jealous? "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Deuteronomy 4 verse 24. Deuteronomy 5 verse 9 says, "I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." Deuteronomy 6 verse 15 says, "For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you." Joshua 24 verse 19, "God, he is a jealous God." And Nehemiah, I think it is, Nahum, sorry, 1 verse 2, "God is jealous and the Lord revengeth." God rightfully, spiritually has the right to us and every last little bit of us, not just because he has the right to us as creator, but he has the right to us as Redeemer. He's bought us with a price on Calvary. And he owns and has the right to every last little bit of us. And if we start to go and play with sin, and we start to play with entertainment that is not of God, or we have idols in our heart or in our life where we love something else in a way that should only, actually God should be loved with that part of our heart that's spiritual, then God has the right to be jealous. And he is a jealous God. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, if the husband was jealous, we have something called the spirit of jealousy. We find it in Numbers chapter 5. And if a husband decided that he thought his wife had been untrue with another man, and he had the spirit of jealousy, then they used to test it. They used to take dust from the ground. God commanded this in the tabernacle and put it in water. And it was the curse water, basically, and to test whether this person was being unfaithful to her husband. And she used to have to drink it. And when she drank it, if her thigh, I think, rotted and her belly swelled, her belly swelled and thigh rotted. And then that was a sign that she had been, God had exposed the fact that she had actually been unfaithful to her husband. And if her belly did not swell and her thigh did not rot, then it was a sign that her husband was wrong and that jealousy was wrong. The Bible says, though, in Proverbs 27 verse 4, "Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who can stand before envy?" Remember, you might lack something in your life. You see someone else having this thing, and you're envious in your heart. You're angry about this. Jealousy is when someone comes in and tries to take something away that you already have. Jesus was killed because of envy. It's a dangerous thing. In 2016, there was a young man. His little toddler had cancer, eye cancer. And he used to walk with his child down the street, holding that child's hand. And when that child had chemotherapy, he used to sit there in a loving way and hold that child's hand. But after the cancer was dealt with, that father in his 20s took that child, beat it up, burnt the body, and threw it on the street. And afterwards, they tested him to see if he had something psychologically wrong, and there was nothing. And it came out that the reason that he did that was because he was jealous of the attention that that child got after its cancer. In South Africa this year, on the 31st of May 2018, there was a boy, and he crept through a boarding school house to get to where two girls, teenagers, were sleeping. They were alone. They were waiting for a sports event the next day at that school. And he murdered both of them, one because of envy and the other because he didn't want to be told on by the second teenager. He was jealous, mostly, because there was someone who was showing attention to this one girl that used to be his girlfriend. And so he killed her. Envy and jealousy can lead to murder. Remember, it led to the murder of Jesus Christ. So what are the objects of envy? I'd like to look at a few things that we as Christians can be envious of. I'm sure none of you are about to walk over to the other side of the room and start murdering people, even biting them. But what are the objects of envy? I'd like to look at a few things today. One thing that we in our heart, and no one can see this, can be envious of as Christians, is good looks. It's just the fact. 2 Samuel 14 verse 25. We have certain people, the Bible says it. I know we like as preachers to say that everybody is equally beautiful, but that's not what the Bible says. Now, I believe in your heart you can be equally beautiful. You can be Christ-like. And everybody, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But in the Bible it says clearly, 2 Samuel 14 verse 25, but in all Israel there was none to be so much praised for Absalom as Absalom for his beauty. So God recognized through the scripture that some people just are absolutely beautiful, more beautiful than anybody else. In Job 42 verse 15, we read in that all the land, there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And it's just the fact, as you grow up, you might have a lot of sisters, you might have a lot of brothers, that some of them might get more attention than you. And you might wonder, am I going to get married? I might follow God more than my sister, and yet my sister has more attention from godly men. And unfortunately, ungodly men sometimes. Or my brother. And the temptation is there, and many people in conservative churches have admitted at times that they were envious of their brother, their sister, and other people in the church. Because they felt that they were not as good looking. You know, I have a cousin. I'm the ugly duckling in my family. And I have a cousin who was walking on the beach. Now, I don't advocate this, by the way. He was walking on the beach and he had his shirt off. Don't do that. Don't think in your head what he looked like. And he just happened to be, he was a farm boy, he was on the beach, he was walking there. And they had this competition in our country, the biggest Dutch newspaper in South Africa, across the country, and millions of copies that get sold. It had a competition that every month, for 12 months, they would choose every month the most good-looking guy in South Africa. You had to vote for these people, which was ridiculous. And my cousin didn't put himself in for this. People were sending their photos to the newspaper so you could have all these photos and you know, they could look. I don't know how they look with their little muscles. And he wasn't looking for this. He walked down the beach and they ran up to him, these newspaper people, and they started taking pictures and took down his details and they put him on the newspaper and he won that month. But then every single month they had a winner. So there was 12 winners. And then they had a big competition at the end of the year who was the most good-looking guy in the whole of South Africa. And guess who won? My cousin. And he got a lovely spanking new car. You know, when I was sitting there barbecuing with him at one stage, he had his shirt on. And I remember sitting there barbecuing with him and I was like, you know what? Now, I was joking. I would never do this. But I said to him, you know, I need to go to the beach and take my shirt off. And then I'm going to get a car, you know? And you know, he was very kind. He said, I don't think that'll work with you, Roy. I have two brothers. They just happen to both be cuter and better looking than me. I was the thin guy, thin like a little rake. It's worldly, it's evil, but girls used to walk up to him at malls and say, you are so cute. You know, they never did that to me. Now, don't feel bad for me. But when I was an unsaved little kid, I remember at times looking up at my older brother and just wishing, you know, I wish I just something more of his flesh. And I wouldn't tell him that. But the temptation was there to be envious. Another area that we can be envious and very easily envious as Christians and not tell other people about it because it will look stupid, we think, is in the area of relationships. So many people, oh, we grew up together, that's wonderful. And then suddenly my friend, it's kind of a continuation of looks sometimes and character and personality, she gets married. And then he gets married. And it's wonderful, praise the Lord, it's absolutely wonderful. And then he gets married. And then she gets married. And then it's like you're counting how many ugly ducklings are left. And I'm one of them. And everybody smiles because that's the Christian thing to do. But deep in your heart, you're like, why him or her and not me? And the temptation for that very thing that murdered Jesus Christ, that might take hold of your heart. And though you smile on the outside, it's very possible to be envious on the inside. And many people have admitted to this when touched by God through counseling or a message. Some people are envious because they have no children after they get married. Many people have been like this. And that must be one of the saddest things. I mean, some people, I know people who were married for 10, 15 years after they got married, and then suddenly God gave them a child. God can do that. But there was a preacher in South Africa, and this preacher was so used of God. He used to preach with my dad many years back. He used to preach, and God used to come. People used to break before God. Halls used to fill. And they didn't just fill. God used to come as he preached the word with power. Hundreds of people were being radically saved. And then he got married. And after he got married, he couldn't have children. And envy came in his heart. And he didn't bring one more soul to the Lord ever in his entire life. For the last 30-something years, a man they thought would be the next Andrew Murray, he was being so used of God. Because he couldn't have children. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's something wrong if you allow envy in your heart towards others. Many people, even recently, people contacted my wife, and there are many women who say to my wife and to others, I'm so envious of my husband because he used to promise that he'd do stuff with me and I've got children. And though I'm longing for that moment where I can have a spare time just to do something with him, the things he used to promise that one day I will do with you, dear, he goes and does with his friends because they don't have children right now. Men. And you know, it hurts them. And they smile to the public. But it hurts. And the temptation is there to become envious. There was a woman in South Africa, and Ezra knows the man in this case. And this woman went to work. She worked for a woman who had a husband, and she started to wish that she was married to that woman's husband, her boss's husband, because he was rich, and her husband struggled. And because she had a way with women and with people that was so smiling and so nice and so kind, and her husband wasn't as good with people skills. So she became envious, and she wrote a poem that her husband found called The Forbidden Fruit. He told me about it with brokenness. How she longed to take that forbidden fruit that she knew the Bible says she wasn't allowed to have. There's a lot of examples in the Bible of envy and family. One would be Joseph, Acts 7 verse 9, and the patriarchs moved with envy. Moved with what? Moved with envy. Sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with them. Why did they have envy towards their brother? Because of the favor showed on their brother by their father. We can become envious at other people because they have favor showed on them that we don't get from parents, even from God. Cain and Abel is an example of this. In Genesis 4, verse 4 and 5, Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He was envious in a sense, because this, and jealous, because this person had favor with God and I don't. And we read in verse 8 that he rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. We can have envy in the ministry, those of us who ever decide to preach or God calls us. You know, it was very easy coming here years back when Ezra used to preach. He hardly preached 10 minutes. Yeah, I was, and I could preach, and I'd always look better than him. It became very hard when he was a better preacher than me. Ezra, you're not allowed to preach anymore. But you know, in a serious note, there are so many people in the ministry who struggle with envy and jealousy. There was a guy in South Africa, he had a squeaky voice. His name was Mr. Friend. You might have heard my dad preach about him. Strangest voice. I've only known two preachers who had such a strange voice. Hello, how are you? That's how it went. I mean, you literally, I remember the first time I heard a tape, I knew him as a little kid, but when I heard a tape of him preaching, my dad says the first thing people would do is they would laugh, and then they would cry later in the meeting, and that's exactly how I experienced it. I listened to him preaching, and I heard his voice, and it was like, it was awesome. And then later on, I realized this is a man of God, though he's dead. This man, though, when you listen to his preaching, you'll realize he said that when he was a young preacher, he used to get envious of better preachers. And it was so bad, he would sit in the front of a church, and while the other person was preaching at this conference or church, he would be praying. And you know what he would be praying? He'd say, God, please let nobody else come out in his meeting. Please don't let anybody be touched by his meeting. He actually would pray that. That's how hold of his heart envy had and jealousy had. And then there came a day when he realized the wrong of this. And he came to the cross, Galatians 2, verse 20, or 5 or 3. And he said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet and I but Christ live within me. And he entered into a life where he looked to identify with the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And from that time he used to pray in the meetings, God, use them more than me. And God used him more than most people in South Africa. Because he'd come to that point where he did not have envy. Mr. F.B. Meyer there, I think in Europe, he said it was so easy when I used to preach and people used to be moved by the preaching of God, and it was so easy to hear about preachers in other lands that were mightily used of God, and I could even talk about them, he said, but when they used to come and preach nearby to me, there was something in me that suddenly came from nowhere. And he admitted to that, a great preacher. That he had to deal with. Moses and Aaron, the people were envious of them. In Numbers 16, verse 3, they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. It's always interesting. They always find some legitimate reason to be against them. They don't want to say, I'm just envious. They'll say it's because all the congregation are holy too. So why do you take all the leadership? Well, because God said so. Numbers 12 verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron came against Moses, but they didn't just come against Moses. They said, when they were envious, we know they were envious, because he had too much of the spotlight. They said it's because of his Ethiopian wife. What I love about Moses is Numbers 12 verse 3 says, the man Moses was very meek, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Isn't that beautiful? And you know, one of the verses that proves that to me is Numbers 11, verse 29, where we just read that there's 72 elders who are prophesying, two of them at the camp and seven of them, I think, in the camp. Hope I got that right. And what does Moses say? Enviest thou for my sake? When they said, we're going to stop them. Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets. I don't want this job. I don't want to be the person with all the attention. I want to be in the spotlight. I'm here because God put me here. I wish every single one of God's people were prophesying. One of the people I really struggled a little bit in between being victorious with envy when I was a young Christian was Glenn Bass. Because we always had this competition going as to who could be used the most of God without saying it too much. Who could speak to the most souls? Who would be the first to have revival? And I remember coming to my grandfather's farm, and for 3 days I prayed through the days, reading the Bible for about 12 hours a day. And the end of 3 days, I remember coming to a point where I met with God in such a way, and I'll never forget it, I didn't care who God used, but that He would work. Now, I'm not saying I've never had temptation since then, but it was so beautiful. When you say nothing between my God and my Savior, that includes envy. Satan was envious of God, Isaiah 14, verse 14. He said, I will be like the Most High, because he was envious. Envy led, as did pride, to the fall and unthankfulness to the fall of Satan. The same with Adam. Genesis 3 verse 5. As Satan says to him, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Sowed envy in the life of Adam. Another example of envy in the Bible is Daniel. He was placed above all the leaders of the king at that time. Daniel 6 verse 3 and 4. He was preferred above the presidents and preachers because he had a more excellent spirit. Then the presidents and princes sought occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They wanted to kill him. Envy was what led to the death of Jesus. Envy is what led to people wanting to kill Daniel. Saul and David. Saul didn't mind David doing great things. But then there came a point of jealousy where Saul felt threatened because he heard these words. Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And we read that Saul was very wroth. The saying displeased him. And he repeated the song basically. And then it says in verse 9, 1 Samuel 18 verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day forth. Now I can just imagine. You're jealous in a wrong way. You're envious of what someone has, the praise that you don't have. And you start eyeing him. You eye him. Why? Because you want to hurt him. And Saul, as a powerful man, could take a javelin and try to, or a spear and try to kill him. Many of us, if we do something like that openly, then we're going to get in trouble. So behind people's backs, we try to spear them with our words. Another area of envy is the area of money. Ahab was envious of Naboth because he had a field. And of course his wife came to him and said, you know, this attitude is right, basically, in my own words. This attitude is correct. You're the king. You deserve to have that field. So stop partying and I'll get it for you. And this led to murder, just like envy led to the murder of Jesus Christ. I remember years back, I wanted to I was praying to God and saying, God, please give me in South Africa we call it a bucky. It's a pickup, you know. My wife says it's a pickup. I think I'm right, if I remember right. It's those things that have the back and the front, okay? No. You see, Jason, why if I ever did come to America, you must never hire me. I might put the back on the front. But at any rate, I was praying to God because apart from the beautiful car that God gave us, we'd had terrifying cars for a long time, but God gave us a wonderful car. We wanted to be able to go up into the mountains, into the remote areas, and a car just doesn't go there because of the bad roads and so on. And so I asked God for a very specific pickup. And I said to God, and I prayed, and I called out to God, and I got prayer meetings going, and we called out to God and said, God, please give me that specific pickup. And then I came to this big conference, and guess what happened? There was another missionary. You'd never guess. He had my pickup. I was so shocked. I mean, many of those missionaries of that camp, I knew they went through 6-7 months. Their cars were so broken. Nobody gave them cars. Their cars were so broken that they couldn't go anywhere almost. They didn't know what to do. And yeah, this one of them gets this beautiful, lovely pickup. And I said to my friend, is that his? He said, yes. Someone just walked up to him and gave it to him after we had these prayer meetings. And I was like, but you don't realize, God, it was me. I was praying for do. And now you give the exact car vehicle that I asked for, you give to him. Sometimes God is perfect. But I remember something there, this was quite a few years back. I remember praying to God, and I don't say I had immediate victory. All of you would have immediate victory, but I didn't. But I in my case, I prayed to God and said, God, you know, bless him more. And I find that's a wonderful thing, is when you're tempted to be envious of somebody, write down all the things you can possibly think that they might need in life and pray God to bless them in those areas. It might not be that God gives it to them, but it's a freeing thing. There was one guy in South Africa, and he's a lovely Christian. I'm not against him in any case, but he had connections overseas, and literally, if his pickup got stolen, he used to be able to pick up the phone overseas, and there would be a new pickup at his door straight afterwards, within a month. And I used to sit there, and I'm just admitting to you, there was just times when, even though I loved this guy, and he was such a humble person, and such a lovely person, there was a little bit, why don't I have that phone number? And if you sit with many missionaries, some of the wonderfulest missionaries, there'll be just times they tell you, they look at other people and they're tempted in their hearts not just to want God's provision, but to be a bit envious of other people who have a little bit better provision in certain areas than them. One of the areas when I speak to many missionaries all over that really hurts, and that when they are tempted to be envious, is when people stop giving. You know, it's not always easy there in certain mission fields, especially for indigenous people who are born in those countries. My neighbor, who some of you support sometimes, I've been in his house sometimes, and he's got 5 children, and I asked to go look at his fridge, and there's only 1 potato. And I ask him, how much is in his bank? And he says, and he means it, $2. 20 Rand. And there's times he phones me when I'm in America and he's weeping and he says, Roy, I want to give up. And he has like 4 or 5 people that occasionally give to him. And what's so sad is when one of those people stop. And there's 3 reasons they generally stop. One is they can't give anymore, which is fine. Secondly, often, and I speak to many missionaries in South America and Africa and different countries, and they say the second reason many times is because they believe lies about them. Somebody told me now, in the middle of one of their worst times they were going through, the main support that they had from the church just cut off because of lies. And sometimes there's a lot of people, and Aaron spoke to me about this years back, in Pennsylvania. I think he might forget, or it might be someone else that spoke to me. There are people who want to be sensational, and so they'll have $50 which they give to one missionary, and then they decide, well, we want to actually give to 10 missionaries, so they give $5 to 10 missionaries, and then they feel like they gave to more people. And that's the three reasons you have. They can't give anymore. There's lies they believe about missionaries, and they decide to split what they have, not when they have extra. And give more because it feels better. And I remember when I was, years back, I came to America after I was chucked out of the country in South Africa. First of all, they closed down the house they were staying in. They told me I had to be out of it within 1 month. I then traveled down and stayed in one little room with a fridge, I don't want to complain now, but we had a bed, we had a fridge, and we had a stove. And I always used to say to Jerusalem, if I get out of bed and I burn my hand on the stove, then I can put my hand in the fridge afterwards. Isn't that wonderful? And then the government, and you all know this, chucked me out of the country. And they said if we stayed one day longer, then my wife might be banned up to 10 years. And there's no way of undoing that with our government. They later accused my wife of being a criminal. You know the story. They said to my wife that the baby was never born and that she's a criminal. And I remember going to America, staying at my aunt's house, borrowing the car from my aunt, traveling across America. We had about $600. On the way, the car exploded, which is what happens when you don't know how to drive, probably. And I came to this place called Needles, and it's on the border, and I don't know what to do, and I've run out of money totally. And I got an email. And it was from the one person in the whole of South Africa who supported us regularly. And they say, we're not giving you any money anymore. And I didn't know why. That's in South Africa, by the way, in our mission account. We had a few people who helped us personally at times. And I didn't understand why. And you know why they stopped? I found out years later, the wife sent me an email telling me how terrifying I was. Because of lies. At the moment of our greatest need, they stop because of lies. And I've sat with many, many missionaries who at the moment of their greatest need, people have stopped. And the temptation has been there. They've told me to my face to be envious of other people who have it easier. Why does he survive and we don't? You even have people who are envious of those who help them. I know one person in South Africa. I'm not going to mention the name. I read a book when I was at high school. And this book basically talked about a person who was envious or cross at people who helped them. So if I came up to you and I said, I want to help you and I want to give... take you and your wife out for coffee, okay? In this book, this guy would get envious of the fact that I was the one who helped you. Because you don't want to be helped, you want to be the helper. And in this book, he would try to destroy that person. I remember as an unsaved person, I thought, this is fictitious, there isn't such people out there. You would be amazed. I have met people who will try to destroy, and they use lies, and they use things you cannot believe behind people's back to destroy the people that helped them because they're envious that they weren't the one who helped others. I've met people like that. I couldn't believe it until I experienced it. People who preach across an entire country. In my own life, I've been tempted to be envious of Americans. Acts 22 verse 28. And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was born free." Do you know what he's talking about? He's talking about Roman citizenship. When I first had my first few little children and I went to England to preach, they asked me to preach there, it cost me almost $400 to get visas for my kids who weren't American citizens yet. Americans with their little kids, it doesn't cost them anything for visas because your passport gets you into like 270 countries. My passport, they call it the green mamba, it's after a snake. It gets you almost nowhere. It gets you into Russia, by the way. Isn't that awesome? I sit there and they call my wife a jolly criminal. I've waited almost 10 years for my wife to get a permanent residence. I hope I don't sound like one of those old ladies complaining again at the nursing homes. But I come there in South Africa, they call my wife a criminal. If I want to, I've applied about 15 months back for my wife's permanent residence. That's the same as your green card, by the way. And if you phone, the only number you can phone, nobody answers. If you have a court case against them and you win, the government will ignore you. They've done that. You might wait 3-4 years to get a no. And in all that time, you have to renew your visas. And what happens basically is every single second year, right now, my wife's visa is expiring, and in Chicago, I have to go and apply for a new one. I've got this little problem. If I don't get that, I might be split from my wife if I go back to South Africa. I know that's not much to some people, but to me, that's almost everything apart from Jesus Christ, and my wife is split from me. And every second year, I have to go through the same stress. And then I hear about this place called America. Have you ever heard of that place? They've told me, and I've got many friends who married Americans, and they did not come to South Africa. They went to America. You know how long it takes you to get a green card if you married to an American and you do it right? Around about 4 months. What takes me 10 years, and I still haven't got it. Almost 10 years. Takes 4 months. My one friend, he wrote me an email. He got married. I preached at his wedding. I think it was last year. Within a few months, he had a green card. Within a few months. And he wrote me an email and said, "Roy, I really don't want you to feel bad. But just to tell you, I got it." And I was like, you know what? Roman citizenship. I was free born, a great sum obtained out of this freedom. I have been tempted at times to be a little envious of people who decide to stay in America. I suppose it's my fault. And I actually wanted to preach in South Africa. But you know, there's two things I cling to, even though this is not a big thing. It's not cancer. It's not being in jail. Number one is God is everywhere. I say to myself, God, somewhere in that place in South Africa, in Home Affairs, my paperwork is. Nobody knows where it is, but it's somewhere. And I'm not there, but you are. God is everywhere. Psalm 139, verse 8. And the second thing I say to myself is, God is almighty. This big government, they don't care about me. I'm a little number to them. They don't care if they split me from my wife and my children. They've done it to many people. But you, God, are almighty. Much bigger than them. And you can easily deal with this. And I do believe with all my heart that God hears me. And what he chooses to do is his choice. But I know that he heard my prayer. And Psalm 105 verse 19 is an encouragement to me. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And I end off. The Bible says to us not to be envious of evil men when they prosper. There's three Psalms that bring up this evil people prospering very prominently. And in two of them we find the answer. Job, his friends say, the wicked don't prosper and the righteous prosper. And Job says, no, the wicked prosper. You can look around you, there are wicked people who are prospering. But there's something that gives us hope, and that is called not only the resurrection of the just, but ultimate justice for those who in this world seem to prosper in spite of the evil. We read this in Psalm 37 verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Job 21 verse 30. That the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. There is such a thing as ultimate justice, which Job brought out. Now there's three things I'd like to, when I say end off the sermon with. It's just some thoughts. When you're tempted to be envious of other people, whether it's because of their good looks, or the fact that they're married, or they have children, or the fact that they've got something that's more favor from certain, your parents, or favor from authorities, or favor from God, or favor in ministry, or whatever, even the fact that you've got an American citizenship and they've got Canadian citizenship and you really want a colder passport. I don't know what it is. Americans would like another passport. But at the end of the day, when you're tempted to be envious, and remember, envy is what led to the death of Jesus Christ and led to people wanting to kill Daniel and others. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 verse 22 that we are to love one another fervently. You know what really breaks my heart when it comes to churches is how little love there is. We might be together because that's what we do when we come together. And often, what's very sad to me when I speak to young people and older people, why don't you love each other? Why don't you want to go and hand out tracts together? Why don't you want to pray together? Why don't you want to have a Bible study? Not just that time we come together because you have to, because church says so, but you want to get together. And they tell me about that person has this that I don't like about them. And that person has this that I don't like about them. And the more I hear, the more it sickens me for one reason. It's not sin. It's not that person is sleeping around, or that person is lying, or that person is stealing. It's that person has something. There's a personality clash in many cases that keep them from fervently loving one another. And in many other cases, it's because of envy, because they think it's unfair what other people have that they don't have. We are to love one another fervently. Pray for them to have more. Secondly, realize everything is a gift. Psalm 104, I've preached on this before, verse 21, 23, 28. It says, the young lions roar after their prey. A man goeth forth unto his work. And then Psalm 104 verse 28, that thou givest, they gather. Realize that everything is a gift. You might go to work for a whole day, God gave you. You think, I've earned? I'm not lazy like that person. Everything you have in life, God says, is a gift, even if you work for it. And it's God that is the judge. He put it down one and set it up another, so don't be envious of the favor of God upon people. And then rest in ultimate justice. Even if there are people in church who don't follow God as well as you do, who don't do the right things as well as you, who you know have secret sin, and yet for some reason they're prospering, or they've got better looks, or they've got more attention, don't be envious. Because one day we know there's going to be ultimate justice. And you want them to be saved on that day, and you want them to be forgiven, and you want them to be changed, because it's going to be awful for those on that day when everything is set right, according to three of the Psalms and Job and many portions of Scripture. So that's a little sermon on envy and jealousy. And I want to ask you, if God has spoken to your heart, if you know that you're jealous of people, or you're envious of people, or you're tempted so to be, bring it to God. Pray for God to bless them more. And remember that God wants us to love each other fervently. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the fact that you fill up the Bible with 66 books. You didn't want us to be ignorant of your will, of your ways, of what is right and what is wrong in thy sight. And one of the things that you cry out against is envy and the wrong type of jealousy. And we know that it was envy that led them to hand over Jesus to be killed. It was envy that made them want to destroy Paul. It was envy that made them want to throw Daniel into the lion's den. Envy is not a joke. And Father, I just ask for every single one of us in this church and those from other churches that you'll guard our hearts, that we realize the preciousness of other Christians and other people, and that we are to love one another and love souls out there and want them to be saved, not to be destroyed or hurt because of envy. And I pray this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.